Well, look, I began to think and process over the last little bit, week and a half of looking at in preparation, even though I was up there, what we were going to look at this morning. And I thought about a one in a million different things. Preachers always are challenged when it comes to quote-unquote holiday preaching. You get off your norm, and I think, man, I'm always talking about the blood of Jesus. I'm always talking about the death of Christ. I'm always talking about the power of His resurrection. And I got to thinking about from the time that Adam and Eve fell in the garden and God made a sacrifice for them and covered them, which was that picture of what He would do for His own children, for those that are His. He's going to cover them with His own sacrifice. They didn't have to do anything to fix what they broke. God fixed it, and that's what God does. Amen. He fixes what we break, and when we break things, He covers. And when He covers, His covering is sufficient. He made a sacrifice for them. I went from there to Abraham, and I thought about Abraham. Come here, Nate. When Abraham was told by God to take his son. Now, come on, Nate. I ain't going to hurt you, boy. You act like you're still asleep, boy. Wake up. You know, number one, God doesn't have grandchildren. God only has sons and daughters. Y'all keep that in mind. He doesn't have any grandchildren. You have to be born again by the Lord to be a child of His. See, this is my grandson. But I got to thinking about Abraham when he took Isaac up on that mountain that day. And as he was walking up that mountain, Isaac even asked him. He was old enough, more than likely older than Nate at this point, but he was old enough to realize that there needed to be a sacrifice. While we're going to worship, we're carrying everything with us to worship. And where is that sacrifice? And Abraham told him the Lord would provide. And he took his son, Isaac, and laid him on an altar because that's what God asked him to do, to sacrifice him for Him. And he laid him on that altar and lay down on the floor, Nate. Let's do like this. Let's lay him on the floor. He laid him on that altar, took out that blade, and he was in the process of fixing to cut his son's throat on that altar. And God stopped him. You say, well, man, that's radical. Well, Abraham trusted, listen to this now, God had told Abraham already that through Isaac, He was going to raise up a seed. And that through Isaac, all the nations of the world would be blessed. So Abraham believed in his heart that if that was the case, because Isaac was still a young lad, he hadn't had any children yet. So he come to the conclusion by faith that if he did what God asked him to do, there could be only one result to that, and that God would raise the boy up from the dead. He would resurrect him. He would raise him up, make him alive again if he killed him. And through him, he was going to bless the rest of the world. He was going to give him children. So, but when he was going to cut his throat, which I would never do, he was going to cut his throat, God stopped him, and he looked in the bushes, and what did God provide? He put a substitute there, a ram. And he sacrificed that ram. Thank you, Nate. He sacrificed that ram. I think about David. David said that God was not going to allow him to see corruption, that when he would die and bury him, but David prophetically was not speaking about himself. Who was he talking about? His son or his descendant by the name of, y'all say that name with me. Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful name? David also said that in hope, he knew that he didn't know what he would be like, but God was going to raise him up from the dead one day too. Thought about that. One after another, I thought about how the New Testament teaches us, Tommy, that after the resurrection, the Scripture says that Old Testament saints, I don't know who they were, I don't know how many they were, but the Scripture says some of them came alive came out of the tombs, out of the graves, and walked through the cities of Jerusalem. Isn't that something? You think that was a surprise to a few people? When these older Testament saints that had died, Bill, the Bible says when Jesus was on the cross, there was a great earthquake and the tombs were opened up. The veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. But it wasn't until after Jesus came out of the grave, because he's the first fruits of the resurrection, after he was resurrected, men came alive, God made them alive, and walked out of tombs. That'd be like the graveyard out here, busting open, and people walking out and coming to see people and talking to them, walking through the streets. That would be, that's a miracle, amen. And it happened. I think about that. But I landed in this passage, 1 Peter chapter number 1. Turn there if you would. 1 Peter chapter number 1. We're going to read this. And we're going to see in this passage, it helps us with quite a few things. One, when God does do a work through the power of His resurrection in our lives, we see an effect. We see a transformation. We see something that takes place, not in just what took place in Christ when He was raised from the grave, but what He does inside of His people has a lasting, permanent, eternal effect on who they are and how they live in this world. And he starts out this passage when Peter writes to a group of Jews. This is who he's writing to, because remember, Peter was the apostle unto the Jews. Paul was the apostle unto people like you and I, the Gentiles. And he writes to a group of people for whom he describes as caring strangers. We are strangers living in a strange world, preaching a strange message to strange people who are not like us. We're different. We're different from the rest of the world. And all God's people said, if you're not different from everybody else in this world as a body of believers, if we're not different, we haven't been affected by the resurrection. Because the resurrection makes you different. Amen. It changes us. He says these words. The New King James says this: Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims in the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, grace to you and peace be multiplied to you. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His rich and abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is immortal and it's incorruptible, it's undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last days, in the last times. Father, we ask you today to help us as we seek you, as we search this word. We ask that you would speak life to us today and that you would help us and that you would allow us to see that we are strange people living in a world that is strange to us now because you have given us a everlasting expectation of something that is far greater than anything that this world can offer us, and that we're just pilgrims passing through this world, living with a hope that cannot be shaken nor taken away. And we just give you the glory and the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Pilgrims, strangers, who have been selected and sanctified by the power of God. That's exactly what Jesus does. Take common people, natural people, defiled people, corrupted people, and turn them into a stranger in this world that has been set apart, sanctified for God and His service, for sanctified for a new lifestyle, for a new way of living, Rusty, and also selected for a life to walk in fellowship with the Holy God. Strangers. We don't always think of ourselves as strangers as in this world until you go to talking to people in this world. Y'all ever just sit around and talk to folks in this world and the way they think? But see, I used to be there. Are you with me?
Yes.
I used to think just like them. I had mindset just like them about this earth. Everything was about me. Everything was about what I wanted to do, where I wanted to go, what I wanted to be, who I wanted to be around, what I wanted to think like, act like. All that I fit in perfectly with a world some time ago, nearly 20-something years ago. But then Jesus done something to me. He made known to me His great love for me. He made known to me what He did on my behalf. He made known to me that my sins had separated me from Him. And He made known to me that His redeeming blood is what provided forgiveness so that I could be at peace with Him, reconciled to Him. When He began to do that, He began to transform how I think about this life. He began to transform how I think about the life to come. He began to transform what I think about people. And then He began to, not just people, but the church. And then He began to show me that there's a ton of people out there that are just like I was, that need to hear what He did for me.
Amen.
And what He did for them. He changed all that for me. And before you know it, I began to look at this world a lot different. I was in the service at the time, and I can remember just how distinctly it was of the transformation that began to take place in my life. How I started listening to people talk, and boy, the way they talk, I used to talk just like them, but didn't pay any attention to how they talk when I talked just like them. Now, it stood out like a sore thumb to me. I mean, everything they said stood out to me. Every slang word, every bad joke, every cuss word, all of a sudden, was just, it was like in a megaphone. I heard it so clearly. I began to look at things totally different about how to live this life and what I'm living for and who I'm living for. And that was all through the sanctifying work that He began. Not only did He select me for a life to walk with Him, but He began to sanctify me for a lifestyle that reflected the work that He did in my heart. And man, I was in the service during the time that Bill Clinton was president. And I can remember thinking, man, I don't want to be in a service and represent my commander-in-chief. I even initially wrote out a thing, a special request that I could get out of the service. I didn't want anything to be attached with the President of the United States. And then God began to work in me and began to shift and show me that President of the United States, whether I like him or not, is the man God put in charge and that he's behind these things. He began to sanctify me, began to teach me. Then he taught me that it was my duty to start praying for him. And that it was my duty to start lifting him up and praying for other missionaries to do the work that God began to do in him. See, initially I had that knee-jerk reaction to just push it all the way. But God began to sanctify me and show me my role in the kingdom. And then that He planted me where He planted me as a missionary. That He put me in a dark place because He had put light in me now. And that He was going to use me in a different capacity to what I thought I was there for. Now He's going to start doing. See, I was a stranger living in a strange world, walking with a strange message, talking about strange ways, and telling people I was headed to a strange place. See, because they couldn't connect or relate to me. They couldn't relate to me until God would do a work inside their life. You follow with me?
Amen.
Nate and I have been messing around the house. Hazel found some toy binoculars, and Nate went to digging and found my little bitty binoculars that I use like for turkey hunting. I keep in my bag, and I keep them over here by the door in a little hutch Stephanie has there, a little cabinet. And I pull it out from time to time when I see things. I can't see as good as I used to. How about y'all? Some of y'all like that? So when something's over in this field or somebody's walking by or something like that, I'll pull those binoculars out and kind of look and see what's out there. You know, they made to magnify and draw things in. It was the other night, Keith come by in the big truck, and I didn't know who it was. And he was just creeping along, creeping, barely moving. I'm thinking, who in the world? Somebody done got lost. People get lost out here. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Big trucks get directed by a GPS to come down here, and then they get down here, then they can't find a place to turn around. And usually if they're going to turn around, it'll be out here over by Bone over there in that section. They can pull in, back out, and turn around. Well, I thought it might have been a big truck, but I that was lost. And I couldn't tell exactly. It was dark who it was. So initially, what do? I go to the back, grab my flashlight, grab my 9mm. Put it in my pocket, and I strike out, and I catch him down here. Didn't know who it was. I was slipping in the dark, never turned my light on until I got up on him. Come in on the passenger side. I hit my light a few times, and he hollered out. He said, "Hey!" I said, "Oh, it's Palmer." Well, we talked for a little bit, and he said, "Brother Nicky, I'll be careful out here. You can't be just slipping on nobody like that." And I said, "Oh, I was prepared, brother. I didn't know who it was or what it was, but I was prepared for it." But I used those binoculars at times, and Nate was using them, and he was right up on me, looking at me through those binoculars. And I got to thinking, you know, imagine trying to read the Word with a pair of binoculars. That'd be impossible, wouldn't it? And a lot of people attempt to do things like that. You can't read the a hymnal or read the Bible with a pair of binoculars, no different than you can't understand the Word of God to walk with the King of heaven and earth, the Redeemer, unless you belong to Him. Amen?
Amen.
The only way to understand God's ways and His wonders is that you got to belong to Him. When you belong to Him, you're a stranger in this world.
Yeah.
You're a stranger. What a strange message to live for the glory of God.
Amen.
He says in verse number 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant, His much mercy has begotten us again." Peter used this word twice. He's the only one who used it when he wrote it. And the idea goes along with what Jesus taught us out of the Gospel of John, is that we must be regenerated, begotten by God again. It goes along with the fact that God is the one who gives life, and God what? Takes life. When we enter this world, we come into this world, mise, because God is our Father. You have to be begotten again by Him. You have to be born again. And that's the idea of being regenerated by the work of God. And He didn't regenerate us or birth us into the kingdom because we were good people. And all God's people said,
amen.
Wasn't because we smelt good, we looked good, we acted good. None of those things. How or why? Why did He birth us again in the kingdom? Why was it? Because of His abundant mercy. His great mercy, which compiles His love, His grace. All these things are brought into light in what Peter's talking about. He's highlighting one dynamic, God's mercy. He's highlighting one dynamic of the gospel, the resurrection. But when he speaks of these things, he's speaking of the accumulation of the grace of God, which includes us being chosen in Christ even before the foundation of the world, which means the preaching of the gospel to us in this life. Which means that if Jesus was resurrected, that meant He died. Because you can't have a resurrection without a death. Well, why did He die? He died as a sacrifice for us. Why did He die? Not only as a sacrifice, but a substitute for us. Why did He shed His blood? Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And He did that for enemies like you and me. Gave His life for us. And it's through that message of His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection, all of it comes together. I brought some elements in here. How many of y'all died any eggs thus far? They have. The kids have. I've got a little bit of everything, but I don't think I have enough, not even to dye one egg. I've got some dye. I've got a little vinegar. I've got some water. I've got one hard-boiled egg. I've got these cups. I've got everything, but I don't have enough of each one to dye the eggs that need to be dyed if I was going to dye them. And that's kind of like how the gospel is. If you take out the resurrection, you don't have a redeeming, you don't have a redeeming message. You take away the blood, you don't have a redeeming message. You take away the cross and the suffering that Jesus went through to shed His blood for us. You take away His life. You got to think about it. The life that Jesus lived qualified Him for the death that He died. Y'all know that nobody else qualified for the death that Jesus died. Only He qualified for that.
Amen.
Why did He qualify for that? Because of the life that He lived. And you see, but the death that He died qualifies you and me to live the life that He lived back then, right now. Amen?
Amen.
So when we think about these things, when what Peter is doing when he says, through the resurrection, he's not neglecting the blood, he's not neglecting the cross, he's not neglecting the life, he's not neglecting any of that. Matter of fact, he's pulling it all in together to say that the resurrection was validation that everything Jesus did was true. And we can trust it. Amen?
Amen.
And you know what we kept by? We kept by the power of that. The power of God, which is the good news, the gospel of God, kept and guarded by Him for what? For an inheritance that is immortal, an inheritance that is uncorruptible. You know why? Nothing in this world, nothing natural can touch what God did supernaturally in Christ and in His people for His glory. Nothing in this world can separate us from God, from His love. Amen?
Amen?
Nothing at all. And nothing can touch what is reserved for us, the inheritance that we have in Him. Why? It is guarded in heaven. And nothing natural can taint it. Nothing natural can defile it. Nothing natural can take it away. Nothing natural can cut it short. Everything He did for us in Christ Jesus is a supernatural work that nothing in this world can affect it. Amen? What a blessing! What a blessing! What a blessing that is. And I want to tell you, we couldn't save ourselves. He did it for us. Some of you may have seen, I shared the other day, I was out and about because little Hazel Jane loves to be out in the yard. And I want to tell you, a kid can find an ant nest quicker than anybody, can't they? What daddies and pawpaws do is they go out in the yard and they find all the nests they can. They stir them up and they do everything they can to kill all those ants. Why? I wouldn't expect... Come here, Hazel. She's going to hide. Look. I wouldn't expect little Hazel Boo. They're not going to bite you. I wouldn't expect her. Rob, you wouldn't expect your little ones to go out and spray for ants, would you? Imagine, little Ruby Kate. I see you. Is it good? Oh, you want to share? Yeah, I know. You see her? You wouldn't expect them to go out and spray for wasps, would you, Bill? I've been trying to kill wasps over here. They love this corner and they love the corners on the house over there. I wouldn't ask her to go out and do that. What would happen if I sent her out to do it? She's going to find something else to do. She's going to lead the poison. Why would I even put poison in her hand, right? But if I gave it to her, she's going to set it aside. As soon as she sees that swing set or as soon as she sees a ball or anything like that, she's going to take off and run after it, right? That's just what she's going to do. Well, I want to tell you, God will never expect you and I to save ourselves. Couldn't do it. We wouldn't want to do it. we'd get distracted with something else. So we know what God did. He said, I'll do it myself. I'll save you myself. I'll take upon flesh. I'll come down. I'll live the life that no one else can live, so that by my righteousness, the entire world will be judged by me and the standard of my righteousness. And if you'll just simply trust me, I'll rescue you. I'll redeem you. I'll take care of myself. And that's exactly what he did for us. He took care of that which was harmful and hurtful and poison and would kill us, and he took it upon himself so that we could find and have life in him. Amen? That's just what he does. Here, Hazel. She mighty shy. Sometimes, anyway. You know what it does, though, when you look at all this? Notice what verse 6 says. Knowing all this is happening, knowing what he's done, knowing that we're strangers, we've been selected, we've been sanctified, we are secure, there's nothing can touch what he's done supernaturally. The result of it is, in verse 6, in this, what he just said, all these things that we've been talking about, we can greatly rejoice, though while we live in this world, we have to suffer a little bit. If need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness, the sincerity, the authenticity of your faith, which is much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Why do you love him? You're a stranger in this world. This world don't love Jesus. But those who are strangers in it sure do. Though you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, which is the salvation of your souls. He says that throughout all history, the prophet's been preaching about it. They've been telling us this grace is coming. Well, it has come. And what does this grace do? It makes a difference in the lives of those that it affects. And when it affects your life, you can't help but walk through this world as a pilgrim, as a stranger, with a strange message, with a strange means of salvation, with strange ways, that it takes the supernatural, incorruptible work of a holy God to make a difference in somebody else's life, to relate to just how strange we really are. Amen? Amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your work in our life. Father, we ask you today. We thank you today. And just bless you. Ask you to help us recognize all that you have accomplished and done for us. We know we won't see it all. We can't see everything. There's so much you do for us every day. You guard and protect. But what you've done supernaturally in us and for us through the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing in this natural world that can tame it. And we just want to give you thanks today and ask that the effects of the resurrected life, that when we die with you and been buried with you and resurrected to new life, it has an everlasting effect. And as Peter went on to tell these men and women abroad that were strangers in this world, to remind them we haven't been redeemed by money. We've been redeemed by that which is precious and incorruptible, the very blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, I pray that you help us and that we go forth and just share this wondrous good news with those that we live with, those that we love, those that we work with, and the people that we encounter in this life. Help us tell them what you've done for us. Now, we can't do it without you. And only you can make a difference in other people's lives. But we want to live a lifestyle that reflects your grace and what you've done in us. We thank you and ask for your help to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there's a wondrous thing when Easter goes from bunnies to the lamb. Amen? Think about that for a moment. From bunnies to the lamb. When it goes from Easter to Resurrection Sunday. What a wondrous work He does in our life. I think about those men that asked Jesus about the woman who went from one brother to the next brother to the next brother. Whose wife will she be? Because they didn't believe in the resurrection. And He said, oh, you don't know your word. You don't know the Scriptures. God ain't the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. He said He's the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. God's only the God of the living. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Anybody have anything you want to share before we go?